The leaders of one-third of the country's Catholic priests begin a summit in Philadelphia today. The Conference of Major Superiors of Men represents priests in 162 religious orders, such as the Jesuits, Franciscans, and Dominicans. They will be deciding how to implement the charter against sexual abuse that the bishops agreed to last June. NPR religion correspondent Duncan Moon reports.
Priests in religious orders do not report to the bishops. Instead, they report to their own leaders, who in turn report directly to Rome. Most don't serve as parish priests, but they do participate in public ministries, often working in schools or hospitals that are controlled by the bishops. So the bishops' charter against sexual abuse does apply to them. But while the bishops have the power to remove them from those ministries, they cannot defrock a priest from a religious order. And that's where this week's meeting comes in. The 260 major superiors in Philadelphia will have to decide how to police their own ranks.
My suspicion is they'll pass a rule where the person will never publicly function as a priest, but will be able to remain as a member of their community.
Dr. George Wergel is a professor of theology at Duquesne University. He says the concept of community is at the heart of what religious orders are all about. Members are not assigned to their orders. They choose to join, and once accepted, they become members for life. They live communally and take vows of poverty, so they cannot own property or keep personal bank accounts. Dr. Eugene Bianchi, the author of Passionate Uncertainty Inside the American Jesuits, says that makes their situation different from priests who serve in dioceses.
If a diocesan priest, say at 55 or so, is let go because of these sexual abuse problems, so let go from the clergy completely, he might have, you know, a retirement pension account, insurance, something to live on. The religious order priest would really not have any of that.
And that means the major superiors will have to walk a fine line. Father Canise Connors is a Franciscan and the president of the conference. He says they need to do what is right by the victims without throwing priests out on the street.
When a member of our order is guilty of an allegation, how will we, in fact, continue to support him, still maintaining his identity and membership in the order and exercise proper supervision over his behavior?
Connors says that since members of religious orders live together, exercising that proper supervision is a much easier task than trying to supervise a diocesan priest. But victim groups like SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, believe the church is just playing a public relations game. John Salverson, SNAP's regional coordinator in Philadelphia and a former abuse victim, says he can't believe the church is still trying to solve the same issues the bishops claim to have solved in Dallas.
They've lowered the bar so far on what people expect from them that when they left Dallas, the headline read, "Zero Tolerance Passes," right? That was the headline. So they decided in Dallas that priests that sexually abuse kids shouldn't be serving as priests. That's news? That's progress?
But Conference President Connors calls for patience. He says the goal of this week's meeting is to bring some healing. It will not solve all the problems, but he believes what they conclude in Philadelphia will be a solid first step and send a strong message that child sexual abuse will not be tolerated in any part of the Roman Catholic Church. Duncan Moon, NPR News, Washington.